If you're listening in on the website, you've missed two videos. We've been listening to Aboriginal Christian leaders expressing their desire to walk with Christians from all different ethnic backgrounds to seek a reconciliation in Christ Jesus. We've been listening to their desire to raise up young Aboriginal leaders to help bring the gospel to the next generation of the Aboriginal communities, Torres Islander communities. And they're asking us to walk with them. And I love that because any of you know St. Paul, and you've heard me say this phrase many, many times, is that we want to walk with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord, Elijah walked. Walking with the Lord is one of the biblical images. And when we met with the two Aboriginal sisters in December, that was the invitation. We were saying, can we build a relationship? And they said, walk with us. That was the gist of the conversation. Now, I know that there are people here who've had very positive, good relationships with Aboriginal people through the years. I know that. I'm not putting that on you. I'm not saying that. And who am I, the Scottish missionary who's arrived in Australia, to say anything, you know? But what I am interested in is the kingdom of God. And there is this thing about that as Christians unite in Christ, we, more than any other peoples, can reflect a unity to the world. So the issue is that if we're disciples of Jesus, then we can walk in fellowship with other disciples of Jesus. Okay, now, doctrine is important, theology is important. So, for example, I know there's Aboriginal Christians who would be very unhappy with anything to do with a smoking ceremony. So I don't know how they would take that ceremony and make it into a Christianly acceptable thing. But that's also something the church has done all through the ages. We've taken things and we've sanctified them in different ways. So I don't know, but I also know that some wouldn't be. So again, it's not that there's one Aboriginal voice, there's not. But locally, there's a smattering of Christian groups and there's a smattering of Christian leaders among the Aboriginal community. And what we're longing for is that they would join with us and we could join with them to pray that God's kingdom would come in this area. That's what those combined prayer meetings are about. And those of you, how many of you here have actually been to one of the combined prayer meetings? Would you keep your hands up if you agree with this next statement? There's something about praying with brothers and sisters from other churches. You just have a sense of God's pleasure. So I'd encourage you to mark March the 7th in your diary. And we haven't a clue how we're going to make this happen. Haven't a clue. We're doing it outside if we can because we think that might make it easier for some of the... This is from the Aboriginal sisters said this to us. Try linking it to outdoors, try linking it to a barbecue, a whole much bigger thing than just a sort of prayer meeting. And our prayer meetings are fun. You know, we mix it up with lots of different activities in the course of the meetings. And worshipping together is a joy. Right. So let's look at our gospel reading. This is going to be a very short talk because we've given time to the videos. So Mark's gospel is like the blockbuster action-packed one. He races along at an almighty pace, and he structures his gospel in a particular way. So Holy Spirit, just help us to lay hold of the truth of this passage that we might be able to take it into our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this sequence of teaching, this event happens after Jesus has already been out in the desert. He's already dealt with the temptations from Satan. He's already stood firm in God's word. He's already put the Lord, his Father, first. And he's come back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't the first time he's met these fishermen. That's the first thing you need to understand. Nazareth and Sea of Galilee, it's a walk down the hill, basically. It's quite a big, long walk, but it's there. They would have had relationships. And also notice that when the disciples leave, they've got the Father and the helping hands. So this was a fishing business. This wasn't just poor people trying to make the best of things. This was an enterprise. And they could leave the enterprise because there was enough people involved in the enterprise. So don't get the idea they're poor wee fishermen that Jesus is doing it. First thing to notice is that he calls them. Traditionally, what happened was you would approach a rabbi, a teacher, and ask to follow them. And if the rabbi said yes, then you would literally follow and live with the rabbi. It's a model of discipleship we've entirely, well, not entirely, but we've largely lost. So really, it would mean that we'd all live together, and you'd be learning from me, and I'd be learning from you, and we'd be traveling about. But of course, there's many reasons why that doesn't happen now. But this time, Jesus reverses that. He calls them. And God calls each one of us into his kingdom. Before anyone becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit is calling them, witnessing to them, speaking to them. And God's given us the freedom to say yes or no. And so we pray and we hope and we long. But God's calling. He's calling all the time. And so when we talk about God's kingdom coming in this region, it's not that we're stepping into a vacuum. We're stepping into something God's already doing. God's already speaking to the people of Kingston, Millbridge, and Eton. They may not be listening, but he'll be witnessing to them. And often when people become Christians, they say to me, do you know, I had this experience when I was blah, 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 and it was a bit like I'm experiencing with the Holy Spirit now. And I go, yes. Why? Because God was already at work, already touching their lives. God loves the people who don't yet know him. God loves the people who aren't yet following him. Jesus died for all. But we also know that the gospel is inclusive and exclusive. That if people reject the Lord, if they do not come under his loving kingdom rule, that they will not be with us and with him in eternity. That's the gospel. It's in John, very clearly spelled out. It's very clearly spelled out by Jesus. And that's the impetus for mission and evangelism. That's the desire of the people we were listening to today. They want to see their people come to know Jesus. And one of the questions that's worth asking yourself is, why don't I really care? Why am I not that bothered? And the answer is because your heart is probably not yet captivated by the love of Jesus for you. You're not yet fully aware of how much God loves you. And you're not compelled by that love to see that love shared with others. And then there's opposition. We have spiritual opposition trying to stop us sharing the gospel of Jesus. We're afraid of persecution and so on. Lots of things. But that's the call, is to follow Jesus. And that's all we have to do. It's just a bit difficult. Because he also points out that following Jesus is the way of the cross. So what is it that dies? It's our old nature, our old way of thinking and believing and living. It's all the scripts that we've inherited from a false belief that gets unpacked over the years as we walk with Jesus. It's all the shaping things that we may not even be aware of that make us think in certain ways that over time God's word and God's spirit will challenge. So generosity, learning to handle finances the way Jesus wants us to handle finances, with an open hand. Out of the riches that God gives us, we're able to bless. One of the joys of this church is that we've got, before I came, you were a generous church, and since I've come, we've continued to be a generous church. And what's God done for us? He's poured out his blessings on us, just as he said he would. We finished this year with more money in the bank than we did at the beginning. We've given away more money this year than we've been doing in the past. Isn't that exciting? That's not prosperity gospel, that's just biblical living. God promises to provide for his children. And that's just one area, is finances, sexual ethics. Follow Jesus. We live very counterculturally. And so we share with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters the same call to follow Jesus and to see his kingdom come. The kingdom that's always increasing as we celebrate at Christmas, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There are more Christians alive this very day than there were yesterday. It's exciting, isn't it? And we're all called into that. So, it's very simple. Are we going to follow Jesus as a church this year? Or are we going to follow Jesus individually? And I've done this before, but I'm going to do it again. Maren, can I borrow you a second? Yes, I do. Yeah, just go to the front. Let's imagine that Marion is Jesus, okay? Don't feel the pressure, okay? Now, Ian, can you go and stand near Marion, please? Okay, and Lewis, I'm sorry, could you go and stand near Marion, please? And Vivian, could you come and stand over here, please? Marion, I just want you to walk about, okay? That's all I want you to do. Just walk around. And listen, Lewis and Ian and Vivian, I want you to follow Marion. Off you go. Keep going, Marion. So Marion's walking around and Vivian's caught up. That's good. Oh, she's getting high fives from Leo. Okay, stop there for a second. Now, what's happened to Vivian? Sorry? She's caught up. What's happened to Vivian and Ian? Right. Vivian's now closer to Ian, and what's happened is the person who was far away, as they start to follow Jesus, also get closer to other people who are following Jesus. Do you see? It's that simple. If we are all following Jesus, then by definition, we will walk together. What goes wrong in churches and individuals is there's all of us struggle with this. When we're not walking with Jesus, then just like Father Brian was saying last week, we tend to drift away. We drift away from each other, and we drift away from the Lord. People don't often leave church with a bang. They sometimes do. But usually what happens is they drift away. And with the COVID thing, we've got a number of people listening to this who are clearly listening to our talks, who are yet not fellowshipping with us, even though they live locally. And if you're listening, we would love to see you. So the point I'm making is that if we follow Jesus, not only do we get closer to Jesus, but we get closer to our brothers and sisters. So therefore, with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, if we're following Jesus with them, what's going to happen in our relationships with Aboriginals? We get closer. This is to Christian Aboriginal leaders, obviously. And then hopefully we get to know the wider community and we pray with them for the conversion of as many people as possible before the Lord comes back. Amen? That's part of our commission, isn't it? So if you find yourself at odds with your brothers and sisters, it's always good to check in with the Lord and say, is it stuff in my cup? Is it me? Or is it an actual issue? And it may well be an actual issue, in which case, share it with the appropriate leaders in the church. If it's in your small group leader, whatever, wardens, whatever, it's good to do. It may well be you're seeing something that we do need to recognize. But so often what I see happening is people drift, and we keep praying and we keep an open door so that when they come back, they don't feel condemnation, because that's not what we're offering. Right, Vivian. I want you to keep after Marion now. Off you go. But you're going to go faster than the others. Off you go. Go. A wee bit more, yeah. Just a wee touch more. Just back to the front. Go on, Vivian. You're an eager young beaver. You're chasing Jesus. Ian's going too slow for you, so you've got to wriggle past him somehow. That's a problem. Keep going. Keep going. It's not. Oh, stop there. Now, Vivian can't be proud that she's following Jesus so enthusiastically. That would be wrong. But that's the other point. People are following Jesus. We're all slightly different. We're all pacing at different rates, aren't we? And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So if you missed the wonderful visual images, if you're listening today, come and join us. Thank you. Can we give them all a round of applause? So the message of today is, if we're all following Jesus, as he calls us to do, then we have to fix our eyes on him. We have to look to him. I mean, I spent the morning, I get up early on a Sunday morning to hang out with Jesus before I come and hang out with you. I offer the day to him. I pray about all the different things. I try and put my armor, I don't try, I do. I put my armor of God on. All the rest of it, I pray with verity as well before I leave the building. That all happens before I come here because I want to be with Jesus before I'm with you. But then when I'm with you, I'm also experiencing Jesus through you. It's beautiful. I love it. Amen. March the 7th. Pray for it. If nothing else, pray that we can meet with some of our Aboriginal Christian brothers and sisters. Amen.